Hi, how's business?
How's business?
How's business? Welcome to How's Business, a podcast on what it's like to do business in the city of Chicago, created by the Institute for Justice Clinic on Entrepreneurship. Hey, thanks for tuning in. If you're listening to this podcast because you love the small business owner that I'm about to feature, I want you to know that we chat with lovable small business owners every week. You can get this podcast sent directly to your phone by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify. Today on How's Business, we're welcoming Saucy Porca. Saucy Porca is located in the Loop and the Hyde Park neighborhood. All right. So as I mentioned, the IJ Clinic is celebrating its 20th anniversary. And as a part of that celebration, we're just doing a listening tour where we can learn more about what's going well and what could be going better for small businesses in Chicago. I just want to take it from the top. If you could tell me your name and the name of your business.
My name is Amy Lee. I am the restaurant owner and chef at Saucy Porca. And I started my business off first as a food truck called the Duck and Roll.
The Duck and Roll. That sounds fantastic. If you could just tell me the story of your business from Duck and Roll to Saucy Porca, where it is today, briefly, what would that story be?
So I started Duck and Roll in 2011, and the Chicago market at that time didn't really have a lot of food trucks. It was just starting to emerge. I believe there's probably six trucks or so on the road at the time. And I just kind of took this leap of faith. I didn't have a ton of money at the time, so I couldn't start a brick and mortar. I thought this would be a really great foray into achieving my culinary dreams. And so I got a truck and I hit the streets. But obviously, with every dream, sometimes you you come across some bumps in the road, literally, figuratively. And for us, it was starting in a city that was not so food truck friendly and then trying to figure out, and I'm so sorry for all these puns, a way to navigate through that. The Duck and Roll truck for me was this great experiment where I could build my customer base, and a lot of great things came about from it, and I was able to pivot into a storefront as a result.
And when you were starting Duck and Roll, did you think that a storefront would be part of your journey, or were you hoping to stay in a food truck?
I always wanted to have a storefront. And I think the idea was to get out there, see if people liked our food, and check out all the different neighborhoods. I always look at food trucks as like this incubator, right? It's this operation that can act as an experiment for a larger picture. Because I think at the end of the day, brick and mortar restaurants are great because you can weather the storm with rain, snow, and various other, you know, things that a food truck can't accomplish. And we always wanted to achieve and open a brick and mortar location, but I didn't know how long it was going to take, but it actually happened rather quickly because of everything that was happening with the food truck. I started putting a plan in place as soon as I could because I knew that for longevity and survival of my business that I was going to have to look for an alternative.
Yeah, and I'm hoping to capture what it's like to maintain a business here in Chicago. We'll start with Duck and Roll. What was it like getting out there on the road, getting all your ducks in a row so that Duck and Roll, this is going to be full of puns. I'm just going to apologize in advance.
Anytime you enter into a market where it's new, you're trying to understand what the rules and regulations were. And there wasn't really a lot of rules out there because, well, there was a lot in the sense that it didn't govern necessarily the food truck. It just governed other industries. And the city was trying to apply that to our industry, but it didn't make sense. And so I had to wrap my brain around what these new laws and legislations were, where I was going to be able to operate. And when we realized that a lot of these laws were kind of unjust to the food trucks, I started to work with other food truck owners and build a coalition so we could get the things that we were going to need to be able to grow and thrive as a business. When I started my business, did I know I was going to end up launching the Food Truck Association? No. Did I realize I was going to be at City Hall testifying and advocating and pushing for new legislation? No. None of that was a part of the big picture plan when I started my truck. It was, I'm going to start a food truck and serve my banh mi sandwiches. And that was it. But sometimes during that journey, you realize in order to achieve what you have to achieve, you have to make room and you have to do the things and open those doors. You know, to this day, it's a really proud moment to be able to see so many trucks out on the road, because I feel like if we didn't make that fight back in 2011, that we wouldn't be where we are today in Chicago.
So you touched on this a little bit. Often, there's sort of this story painted of a contentious relationship between brick and mortar restaurants and food trucks. Now that you're in a brick and mortar, what is your relationship with food trucks like?
So funny story. So after the whole food truck legislation and everything that we went through, and I opened my storefront and I had put my truck away, a food truck stand popped up directly across the street from my restaurant. And everybody came to me like, are you going to be upset about that? I said, of course not. It was directly across the street. And it was great because it just meant that there was more people coming down to the area. And for us, it was, okay, this is additional foot traffic for us. So opening the storefront was like this opportunity to expand my brand, to do more catering because I had more room and more space now, and I could really grow as a business. And if that meant other small businesses growing around me, I mean, this is Chicago. This is the market. You know, you've got hundreds of thousands of restaurants, and having the trucks added to that culinary culture here.
And we're sitting right here in Hyde Park in Saucy Porca. I want to pivot to what it's been like to maintain a restaurant like this following all the regulations that are different than what a food truck might face.
The laws and rules are always changing, right? So being a small business owner, you have to, you know, stay abreast of things when you open a business. So I know like this last couple of years, there's been a lot of changes to the health code laws. They've taken more of a position where they've adopted national regulations. And so a lot of those are kind of applicable to larger chains and larger restaurants, but it's more difficult for a smaller restaurant to kind of adjust to those new regulations. So we always have to try to be upfront and figure out how we're going to do it and work with the city in the best way that we can.
Are there any like sort of specific circumstances where you were like, that kind of sounds like it's meant for a McDonald's franchise and not necessarily for my kind of business?
So everybody has to get the health and sanitation license for my managers that work at the restaurant. And obviously these are health issues, so they're important. But we have the allergen test now too. And employees that work for me all have to take a food handler's license. So there's all these different licenses. And I feel like it could be built into one, and the one class that's teaching it could be able to be divided and teach those courses instead of going in and taking three separate classes and spending hundreds of, you know, dollars on each of those licenses for each individual person. Because now it used to be only the manager was required to have it, but now every single employee. So if you've got eight employees and they're managing food, that's, you know, quite a bit of money that, you know, that you're paying out. But it's small little things like that, that it doesn't make sense why there's so much paperwork. And I guess it's just government. But, you know, you look at it and you're like, there's a better way of consolidating this and making it easier. And I don't want to even say the word easy. It's about making it more efficient for both, you know, the city and the business owners.
And when you were deciding on this location, where did you think about and what does it mean to you to have a business here in Chicago?
I discovered the Hyde Park neighborhood through my food truck, because when you're building a business, everybody looks at like downtown Chicago, because I'm primarily a lunch location and that's how I started my business. So everybody's looking at the downtown, like tons of foot traffic. And I remembered Hyde Park. It was a growing neighborhood, had all this potential for new restaurants. And that's what really attracted me for a storefront location here.
Yeah, and do you think that without the food truck, you would have known that Hyde Park would have been a good market for you?
So much of my journey as the food truck owner and exploring the city, that truck took me all over the city. It took me all over different parts of Illinois, that I learned so much in that period, in that those couple years, about what I could do as a business owner.
How often do you interact with Chicago City Hall, and what are those experiences like for you?
I don't interact as much as I did during my legislation days and rallying the food truck coalition. My interaction is basically going in and getting, you know, my licenses and going downtown. I try to stay abreast as much as I can when there's new policy changes, and I'm always reading about things that are being introduced and seeing how that could affect us as a small business, because I think it's important that if we don't know how these laws are being written, then we don't realize the impact it has on us at the end of the day. I feel like I wish we would have a stronger say in that process with the business affairs when new licensing is being introduced, that we could have input and feedback. A great example is like, I'm very supportive of the sick pay leave that recently passed, but there was parts of that law that passed that I don't think they thought about how it was going to impact a small business at the time. So like we gave paid sick leave to this employee that left, but then as a restaurant, you have to fill that position because you can't run your restaurant short staffed. And so now I saw during the year when we were having especially with the flu season, and I had a lot of employees out, that I saw my payroll double because I was paying for two employees and not one. There wasn't anything to help protect us as a small business to kind of weather that financial storm.
What advice would you have for other small business owners about getting engaged with City Hall and making sure that they're influencing policy that might affect them?
You know, people become apathetic because they don't believe that they can change how the system is, especially in a city like Chicago that, you know, has a reputation. You've got a lot of aldermen that held their seat for a very long time and they don't ever go up challenged. And my experience during that time with the Food Truck Association taught me otherwise. Did we get everything that we want? No. But I realized if you don't fight and you don't say something, if you don't organize and you don't communicate with the people in your industry, nothing happens and decisions are made without you. And if you want to have a say, you have to be able to annoy the heck out of your alderman and go to those office meetings and, you know, find out what you can do. And the more people that you get involved and the more people you communicate with, I think that only benefits everybody at the long run.
On the flip side, what advice would you have for policymakers about making Chicago a friendly place for small business?
I would love a little bit more open transparency with some of the aldermanic offices. Some of the more progressive aldermen that I saw get elected in the last few years, they had a really open door policy where they showed up to every ward night, right? And they did take in the feedback and they attended community meetings. And I think that's how you build a better, stronger community. I would love to see more of that change.
And if you could use one word to describe what it's like to do business in the city of Chicago, what would that word be?
Do I say the thing that popped up in my head first, or there's two words? It's rewarding, but it's frustrating.
And then if you could give the incoming mayor one piece of advice, what would that be?
The incoming mayor. Maybe I have too much Game of Thrones on my mind, but I would really like the wheel to be broken a little bit here in Chicago. This is this new era where we have our first African-American female elected mayor. And I think we're moving in this direction of all these firsts and new. Why not continue down that path, right? Why don't we continue to look at how we can change the system here a little bit more? Because every city has their own problems, but I think at the core of this, that there needs to be more transparency in the city.
And if folks want to have a bite of Saucy Porca, where can they visit you?
So we've got two locations. We've been in the Downtown Loop location for the last 6 years. That's at 335 South Franklin Street. And then we just opened up in Hyde Park is our newest location. And that is at 1164 East 55th Street. And yeah, we're open both for dinner and weekends here at the Hyde Park location, where downtown we're only open for lunch 5 days a week.
And then before we wrap, is there anything that's important for you to share about Saucy Porca or about doing business here in Chicago?
I've had the fortune to be able to open a business, and no matter how hard it was, I never gave up, because while I might have come against a lot of roadblocks and that might have been from politicians or existing laws, the community was always super supportive. And I think that's what has driven my business here. And as long as you have the support of the people that dine and establish at your place and the people around you, I think you can always be successful.
Since 1998, the Institute for Justice Clinic on Entrepreneurship has provided free legal assistance, support, and advocacy for low-income entrepreneurs in Chicago. The IJ Clinic also trains University of Chicago law students to be vigorous and creative advocates for entrepreneurs. For more information, visit www.housebusinessshy.com.